It started almost the instant the music began. A mile below the surface of the lake, near the opposite shore, an army began to rise from the dead. The black uniform corpses broke loose from their moorings, rose to the surface, and began to drift toward shore. As more and more of the semblance of life returned, the drifting became swimming motions, then wading. They fell into ranks on the shore. Under the steel helmets, their complexions were greenish, their eyes heavily lidded, their black lips drawn back in wide grimaces. The mouths of the officers and non-coms moved, forming words of command, though no sound came forth. No sound was needed, it seemed, for the orders were instantly obeyed. Once again, the power that had been granted to Adolf Hitler by the Illuminated Lodge in 1923, "because you are so preposterous," they told him at the time. The power that had manifested itself in steel-helmed armies that had won Hitler an empire stretching from Stalingrad to the Atlantic, from the Arctic Circle to the Saharan Desert. Once again, that power was visible on the earth.
"They are coming. I can feel it,"
Werner whispered to his twin Wilhelm as Wolfgang thundered on the drums and Winifred belted out, "This is the dawning of the Age of Bavaria. Age of Bavaria. Bavaria. Bavaria." The tanks and artillery were rolling into position. The caterpillar treads of the troop carriers were churning. Motorcycle couriers sped up and down the beach. A squadron of partially dismantled Stukas was lined up in the road. After the festival goers had been massacred and Ingolstadt had been overrun, the planes would be trucked to the nearby Ingolstadt Aerodrome, where they would be assembled and ready to fly by morning. The dead men removed black rubber sheaths from rolled-up red, white, and black banners and unfurled them. Many of them were the familiar swastika flags and banners of the Third Reich, with one addition. A red eye and pyramid device superimposed on the center of each swastika. Other banners carried Gothic letter mottos such as Drang nach Osten and Heute die Welt, Morgens das Sonnensystem. At last, all was in readiness. The blue-black lips of General of the SS Rudolf Hampfgeist, 30 years dead, shaped the command to march, which was relayed in similar fashion from the higher-ranking officers to the lower-ranking officers to the men. The lights and music on the opposite shore beckoned across the dark, bottomless waters. Moonlight glinting on the death's heads on their caps and runic SS insignia on their collars, the soldiers moved out, company by company. The only sound was the growl of the diesel engines of troop carriers and the clank of weapons.
"They're coming,"
said the woman under Hagbard, who was neither Mavis nor Stella nor Mao, but a woman with straight black hair, olive skin, fierce black eyebrows, and a bony face.
"Coming, mother,"
said Hagbard, giving himself up to the irresistible onward sweep of sensation, to the brink of orgasm, and over.
"I'm not your mother,"
said the woman.
"Your mother was a blonde, blue-eyed Norwegian, and I look Greek now, I think."
"You're the mother of all of us,"
said Hagbard, kissing her sweat-damp neck.
"Ah,"
said the woman.
"Is that who I am? Then we're getting somewhere."
"Then I started to flip. Malik eclipsed by Malaclips and Chalene, hardly serene. Mary Lou, I worship you. The red eye is my own mooning. What is the meaning of moaning? And such like seminal semantic antics. My head is a quick-tran quicksand, where the territorial imperative always triggers stay off my turf. The Latin and the Saxon at war in poor Simon's synapses. Dead men fighting for use of my tongue. Turning population explosion into we're fucking overcrowded and backward also. So it might emerge copulation explosion. And besides, hag-bared straits from this black and white mass, the acid was in me. I was tripping, flipping, skipping, ripping on my way with Mautsy Tautsy. For the number of Our Lady is 156. There is wickedom, but I never expected it this way. What do you see?" I asked Mary Lou.
"Some people who are swimming coming out of the lake. What do you see?"
"Not what I'm supposed to see. For the front line, Clear as Claritas was Mescalito from my peyote visions, and Osiris with enormous female breasts, and Spider-Man, and the Taro Magus, and good old Charlie Brown, and Bugs Bunny with a Tommy gun, and Jughead, and Archie, and Captain America, and Hermes thrice blessed, and Zeus, and Athena, and Zagreus with his lynxes and panthers, and Mickey Mouse, and Superman, and Santa Claus, and Laughing Buddha, Jesus, and a million, million birds, canaries, and budgies, and gaunt herons, and holy crows, and crowley hoes, and eagles, and hawks, and mourning doves, for mourning never ends. And they'd all been stoned since the late Devonian period, when they first started eating hemp seeds. No wonder Huxley found birds the most emotional class of life. Singing all the time, stoned out of their bird brain skulls, all singing, I circle around, I circle around, except the minor birds squawking, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And I remembered again that existence isn't sensible anymore than it's hot or red or high or sour. Only parts of existence have those qualities. And then there was the zigzag man. And my God, my father, leading them in singing.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, the union makes us strong.
I say,
said an Englishman,
I thought he was a monster, and he's only Toad of Toad Hall, with Rat and Tinkerbell, and Wendy, and Bottom.
That's who you are,
said Hagbard.
If you can call that any kind of a fucking identity.
I think it's time you went up on stage and made our little announcement,
said the woman.
I think everyone is ready for that.
I'll send Dillinger into you.
Goody.
It's not true, you know. That was the other guy, Sullivan.
I wasn't thinking about that. I don't care if it's no bigger than my little finger. It's just the idea of fucking with John Dillinger. If that doesn't put me over, nothing will.
Hagbard stood up and laughed.
You're starting to look and sound like Mavis again. I think you're slipping, super bitch.
The American Medical Association had left the stage, and Clark Kent and his supermen were playing as Hagbard, accompanied by George, Harry, Otto, and Malaclips, made his way down their own hill and up to the crest of the hill where the stage was erected. The journey took a half hour as they picked their way through groups of people engaged in Mongolian clusterfuck, sitting zazen, or just listening to the music. At the stage, Hagbard took out a gold card, which he showed to a group of marshals guarding the area from intrusion.
I have an announcement to make,
he said firmly. The marshals allowed him to climb on stage and told him to wait till the supermen had finished their set. As soon as Pearson saw Hagbard, he motioned his men to stop playing. A murmur arose from the audience.
Well, all right, Hagbard,
said Robert Pearson.
I was wondering if you were ever going to show up.
He walked over to the side of the stage where Hagbard and his group were standing.
Good evening, Waterhouse,
said Pearson.
How's my gal, Stella?
Where the fuck do you get off calling her your girl?
Said Waterhouse, his tone containing nothing but menace.
The acid only opens your eyes, George. It doesn't work miracles.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Wonder what the hell is in that suitcase?
Dillinger murmured.
I'll open it,
Saul said.
We'll all have to take the antidote anyway after this. I have a supply on the car.
And he leaned forward, parted Carmel's stiff blue hands, and tugged the suitcase free. Barney, Dillinger, and Markoff Cheney crowded close to look as he snapped the lock and lifted the top.
I'll be damned and double damned,
Barney Muldoon said in a small, hollow voice.
Hagbard has been putting us on all along,
Simon says dreamily. It doesn't matter in the first Bardo.
Those Nazis have been dead for 30 years, period. He just brought us here to put us on a trip. Nothing is coming out of the lake. I'm hallucinating everything.
Something is happening,
Mary Lou insisted vehemently.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with the lake. That's a red herring to distract us from the real battle between your Hagbard and those crazy musicians up there. If I wasn't tripping, my head would work better, damn it. It's got something to do with sound waves. The sound waves are turning solid in the air. Whatever it is, the rest of us aren't supposed to understand it. This lake thing is just to give us something we can understand, or almost understand.
Her black face was intense with intelligence, battling against the ocean of undigestible information pouring in through all of her senses.
Dad!
Simon cried, weeping happily.
Tell me the word! You must know now! What is the word?
Kether,
said Tim Moon, blissfully.
Kether? That's all? Just cabalism?
Simon shook his head.
It can't be that simple.
Kether,
Tim Moon repeats firmly.
Right here in the middle of Malkuth. As above, so below.
I see the throne of the world. One single chair, 23 feet off the ground, studded with 17 rubies, and brooding over it, the serpent swallowing its tail, the rosy cross, and the eye. Who was that nice man?
Mary Lou asked.
My father,
Simon said, really weeping now.
And I may never see him again. Mourning never ends.
And then I understood why Hagbard had given us the acid, why the weather underground and Moratori used it constantly. Because I started to die. I literally felt myself dwindling to a point and approaching absolute zero. I was so shit scared, I grabbed Simon's hand and said, help, in a weak voice. And if he had said, admit you're a cop first, then I'll help, I sure as hell would have told him everything, blurted it all out. But he just smiled, squeezed my hand gently, and murmured, it's alive. And it was. The point was giving off light and energy. My light and my energy, but God's also. And it wasn't frightening because it was alive and growing. The word omnidirectional halo came to me from somewhere. Was it Hagbard talking to Dillinger? And I looked. Holy key writs, Dillinger split in two as I watched. That's the answer to one question. There were two Dillingers. Twins. In addition to the fake Dillinger who got shot at the biograph. 0 = 2, I thought, feeling some abstract eternal answer there, along with the answer to some of the questions that had bugged so many writers about Dillinger's criminal career. Like, why some witnesses claimed he was in Miami on that day in 1934, when other witnesses claimed he was robbing a bank and killing a bank guard in East Chicago. And why Hagbard had said something about him being in Las Vegas, when I could see him right here in Ingolstadt. But it was all moving, moving, a single point. But everything coming out of it was moving. A star with swords, and wands projecting outward as rays. A crown that was also a cup and a whirling disc. A pure white brilliance that said, I am Ptah, come to take you from Memphis to heaven. But I only remembered the cops who beat Daddy up in Memphis and made him swear when he got back that he'd never go south again. And how did that tie in with why I became a cop? And Ptah became Zeus, Bacchus, Votan, and it didn't matter. All were distant and indifferent and cold, not gods of humanity, but gods above humanity, gods of the void, brilliant as the diamond, but cold as the diamond, the three whirling in a point until they became a turning swastika. Then the face of the doctor who gave me the abortion that time I got knocked up by Hassan I Saba X, saying, you have killed the son of God in your womb, black woman. And I started to weep again, Simon holding my hand and repeating, it's alive. But I felt that it was dying, and I somehow killed it. I was Otto Waterhouse in reverse. I wanted to castrate Simon, to castrate all white men, but I wouldn't. I would go on castrating black men. The nightmare life and death am I.
It's alive, baby,
Simon repeated,
It's alive. And I love you, baby, even if you are a cop.
The whole lake is alive.
The vibe man with a fillet of soul was trying to explain to the rest of that group.
One big spiral rising and turning like the DNA molecule. But with a hawk's head at the top.
Good evening, Waterhouse,
said Pearson.
How's my gal, Stella?
Where the fuck do you get off calling her your girl?
Said Waterhouse, his tone containing nothing but menace.
Cool it, brother,
said Pearson reasonably.
Don't hand me that brother shit. I asked you a question.
You and your question come out of a weak, limp bag,
said Pearson. Hagbard said,
Robert only fucks white women, Otto. I'm sure he's never laid Stella Maris.
Don't be too sure,
said Pearson.
Don't play with Otto, Robert,
said Hagbard.
He specializes in killing black men. In fact, he's only just killed his first white man, and he's not at all sure he enjoyed it. I never knew what killing was before,
said Waterhouse.
I was crazy all those years, and I enjoyed what I did because I didn't know what I was doing. After I killed Flanagan, I understood what I'd been doing all along, and it was like I killed all the others all over again.
His cheeks were wet, and he turned away. Pearson stood looking at him for a moment, then said softly,
Wow. Come on, Hagbard. Let's get you on stage.
They walked out to the microphone together. A few people in the audience had begun clapping rhythmically for more music. Most, though, had been waiting silently, happily, for whatever might happen next. What happened was that Robert Pearson said to them,
Brothers and sisters, this is Freeman Hagbard Chalene, my ace, and the heaviest dude on the planet Earth. Listen while he runs it down to you what's happening.
He stepped aside and deferentially ushered Hagbard to the microphone. Into the silence, Hagbard said,
My name, as Clark Kent just told you, is Hagbard Chalene.
In Mad Dog, Texas, John Dillinger and Jim Cartwright looked up from the chessboard as the radio music stopped and an announcer's voice said,
We interrupt this show to bring you a special message from Washington.
John moved a knight and said softly,
Checkmate. That'll be the president, I bet. I hope to hell my brother finds that missing pimp before things get much worse.
Cartwright surveyed the board dismally.
Checkmate.
He agreed finally.
I hope your other brother and Hagbard are handling things right in Ingolstadt,
he added as they both turned with a reflex acquired from TV watching and looked at the radio.
Being a woman is bad enough, but being a black woman is even worse. I always feel split in two, a divided lion. I'm thinking like Simon, with a hole in the middle. And that's all men are interested in, the hole in the middle. But the acid was making the split into a conscious agony, and then was healing it. I was a whole lion, ready to devour my enemies. I understood my father and why he felt he finally had to stand up to the whites, even if it killed him. A knight moved across a wasteland, the desert around Las Vegas, but it was laid out in squares like a chessboard. He raised a fiery wand, crying, Black power! And it was Hassan Isaba, my lover, my enemy, a black Christ, and yet also a baboon with a crazy grin. All blue pearl gray, like semen. Inside every woman, there's an angry man trying to get out. A man-woman with eyes of an owl. And the joy came over me as my clit got hot and grew into a penis. I was my father. I was afraid of nothing. I could destroy the world without caring, with one angry flash in my eye like Shiva. My penis is the invisible star, Ruby, and men conspire to make me hide it. That's why I must take theirs. I am two-faced, always deceiving, like all women. Deception is our only defense. I understand it more clearly as the wisdom of my insanity increases. And the musky smell of hashish coming from the plastic canoe trailer is like me, a female plant with male strength. They are nailing me to the cross, literally. But the cross is inside a spinning wheel of flame. Oh, holy Moses, I'm finding Buddha, not Eris, in my pineal gland. The third eye is opening. I am the earth beneath your feet. I am Billy Frechette. I am Legion. There are millions of me, a plague of locusts to devour your white male technology. My name is Hagbard Chalene, he is saying. They sold heroin in my grammar school. That's the way Chicago Black gets educated. Simon is still trying to bring me through it, saying now, death shall have no dominion. And I try to believe love shall have the dominion, but first I must spend my hate to the last penny. They made me kill my baby. I really am going to go crazy, because I have the hots again and want Simon's lance in my cup. But I also know the real God is beyond God, and the real Illuminati is beyond the Illuminati. There's a secret society behind the secret society. The Illuminati we're fighting are puppets of another Illuminati, and so are we.